Welcome to The Process of Being. I'm Carolyn London, spiritual teacher and coach. This is a spiritual podcast where I and guests will talk about what it means to just be. To be here, to be spirit, to be human, to be you. We'll explore different teaching, thoughts, ideas, and practices on being. Have you ever felt like you didn't know how to do life? Does it seem at times that everyone around you has it all together but you? Are you being called to something and you're just not sure what? Well, welcome to the show. This is a show for those seeking, and we're here to help you explore and discover what it means to be you.
Well, that's not the right introduction, but that's okay. We're just going to keep going. Good evening. You're listening to Universal Energy Radio. This is Self-Mastery Through the Law of Attraction, and I'm your host, Mary Jo Bull. Thanks so much for joining me here tonight. Shout out to those of you connecting with me through the internet. If you'd like to speak to me directly, you can call 718-664-9124 to be connected to the studio. Hit the number 1 on your phone to raise your hand, and I'll open up. If you can, with your question or your situation, to give us maximum time to get clarity and direction. So I want to start this show this evening with a story to sort of illustrate the message that we are wired to thrive, that in fact the universe has our back, the dice are stacked in our favor. If we will just learn how to allow that flow. In every situation, there is the perfect solution, even if you don't know what it is. And if you learn to understand how this works, how life works, who we are and where we come from, you can have a very different experience. So, as I said, I want to start with a story. We all remember probably where we were on September 11th, 2001. I was working for a trade association in Arlington, Virginia, in Roslyn, which is a part of Arlington that's right on the Potomac River. Coincidentally, I was working in one of two towers, twin towers that sit on the Potomac in Roslyn. And we could see the Pentagon the window of our office. We were almost on the very top floor, as it did every other American and person in the world who witnessed this event. It struck me to the core of my being. It made me start to ask some questions of myself, like, if this were my last day on Earth, is this how I want to be spending my time? Is this where I want to be? It took a couple of years, but eventually there were some other circumstances in my life, some conditions that I was putting pressure on myself and manifesting these conditions. Some were related to my health. They were related to my finances. I was beginning to exhibit signs of just a lot of mental and emotional stress. I think I was experiencing adrenal fatigue, a number of different conditions. And I made a decision one day that I was going to quit my job. I'd been working there for about 9 years. I'd bought a house. I was a single mother. I was raising a daughter on my own, and we were living in the affluent suburbs of Washington, D.C. I wanted to raise my daughter in a safe neighborhood, in a place that was reminiscent of my own childhood. I grew up in northern Maine, surrounded by families and children and playing outside and just having that sort of all-American experience, and I really wanted that for my daughter as well. once I bought my house in 1999, I felt the pressure to stick with it, to suck it up. It was going to get better and to stay the course, which is what a lot of us do, right? We don't imagine how we're going to be able to manifest something better in our lives because we have such a limited perspective of who we are and what we're capable of doing. But in 2003, my health started to really get my attention. I was experiencing bouts of vertigo. I was using all the energy I had through the week just to get through the week, and my weekends were kind of lost. So in June of 2003, I quit my job. I had refinanced my home earlier in the year, so I had some money in the bank. And my plan was that I was going to take the summer off and spend the summer just hanging out at home with my daughter, who was 10 at the time. We have a membership to our community pool, and I had visions of going to the pool with her every day and riding bikes. So I left this job in the middle of June 2003, and I remember coming home that day and just feeling this overwhelming sense of freedom and relief, and I was just really looking forward to having that time with my daughter. We went to the pool that afternoon, spent the afternoon there. I remember, I had pictures that I took, watching her play with her friends and jumping off the diving board and having a great time. She's a little Pisces girl and she loves being near the water. And it was really a wonderful afternoon. And I cooked out that night. I barbecued some hamburgers and hot dogs and it was great. And the next day the bottom fell out. There wasn't going to be any wonderful summer. There wasn't going to be days at the pool and riding bikes. I collapsed for the most part. I think I had a combination of PTSD and chronic fatigue syndrome and adrenal fatigue. But whatever the diagnosis was, I was in trouble. I was in a lot of trouble. But I was feeling fairly secure because, as I said, I had some money in the bank. I had a plan and I was just going to let myself heal. That was my plan. I was going to let myself heal. I was going to rest and take good care of myself. And because I had quit my job, I had no health insurance. I had been seeing a chiropractor fairly regularly, so that was my go-to. I would see my chiropractor once a week, and he was really helpful in terms of getting my nervous system straightened out so I wasn't quite so fried. But the routine was I would usually make the appointment in the middle of the week, and I would go to the appointment and I'd come home feeling good. I felt energized. I felt, somewhat normal. So I would cook a bunch of meals to last another week, put them in the freezer because I knew that the next day it was Groundhog Day. I was going to be right back where I was, in my healing process. So this went on for a few months. And as the school calendar, the beginning of school approached, because my plan was as soon as my daughter went back to school, I was going to start looking for another job. I started to realize that I wasn't going to be able to do that. I didn't have the energy. I didn't have the strength. I was still going to need a while to heal my body. So that summer, my daughter gained a lot of autonomy. She's always been a very independent soul. We lived a half a block away from the pool. And so she got a lot of freedom that summer. I knew I could trust her. I knew we were in a safe place. I also was beginning to understand the truth of who we are and where we come from and the tools and the resources that are available to us. And to some degree, I was actually kind of relying on my religious upbringing as well, which I had abandoned for the most part in my late 20s. I began to, once I became a parent, I really decided that I needed to start relying more on faith. I needed to build that muscle. I needed to figure out for myself what exactly did I believe. And so by the time this part of my life came along, I was comfortable in sort of going back in my catechism and calling in protection and visualizing Archangel Michael, you know, watching over me and my home and my daughter and taking care of us. So we had a plan that Allie would ride her bike to the pool. She would call me when she got there. She would stay there. She wouldn't leave without calling me first, even if it was to go home with a friend that I knew. And then she would call me when she was on her way home. And I would stand out in the driveway and just look for her, you know, riding down the street on her bike. So she gained a lot of freedom that summer. And I suspect she probably grew up a little bit more than she wanted to. Years later, I did ask her what her recollection was of that summer. Because, of course, at the time, you know, she's a kid. I figure she's having a good time. She's hanging with her friends. She's going to the pool. I'm, you know, doing my best. I really had no idea, I think, how sick I was. And I asked her just a couple of years ago what that experience was like for her, how she remembers it. And she that got my attention. I had no idea that that was her experience at 10 years old. So she went back to school in September, and I just continued to do my best to rest and gain my help. I was spending a lot of time on my couch, you know, channel surfing. And I remember one day coming across this preacher. Her name is Joyce Meyer. And I grew up in a fundamentalist community, and I have an aversion to that line of worship. I always found it very disturbing, and I didn't understand it. It was very different than the Catholic upbringing that I had. You know, if you have had any expression or any experience in Catholicism, you know that when you go to church, it's very quiet. It's a very quiet place. There's not a whole lot of talking. There are certain times when you're allowed to speak to one another, but they're very short and there's only a few of them. So being exposed to a fundamentalist, almost evangelical religious experience through my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, that was just, as I said, it was just so different than what I was used to that it scared me. Again, laying on the couch, you know, channel surfing, I come across this female preacher, and her name was Joyce Myers. And for some reason, I stopped to listen to her, and I could hear her. I could hear what she was saying. The words that she was saying were resonating with me. They were hitting home, even though the presentation appeared to be very similar to what it was I feared from my experience growing up. But I started to recognize that there might be some value in what we commonly refer to as scripture, what I like to call wisdom teachings. There are certain words in our vocabulary that once heard, many of us will just shut down. And the word scripture is one of those words. People tend to have their own association with what that word means. And like I did with my experience with evangelical religion, you know, in the past, I had an aversion to it, didn't pay any attention to it. So I like to use the term wisdom teachings, because whatever religion you're looking at, involved with, studying, those are wisdom teachings. There's tremendous wisdom in there. It's good to remember that up until about 500 years ago, all humanity had to rely on was its direct experience of the Creator and these wisdom teachings. Science is only about 500 years old. Before that, there was no science per se. It was all the church. And once science came along, there were many things going on at that time, culturally, religiously, in our world. The dogma was such that we were separated. We were told that we were separate from the Creator. And those wisdom teachings that that demonstrated otherwise were no longer available to us. Let's put it that way. They were no longer part of the regular experience of the day-to-day churchgoer, if you will. So back to Joyce Meyer, I could hear the message that she was offering, which was one of hope and faith and trust. And I desperately wanted that at that time in my life. I was, as I said earlier, I was pretty sick, and I felt like I didn't know how I was going to work all this out. I knew that it would work out, but that didn't mean that I wasn't worried. That didn't mean that I didn't feel anxious and scared, because I did. But I knew that there was no way I could go back to work full time in the condition that I was in. So I just kind of had to keep plowing forward. I would say about that October, maybe November, I ran out of money. And I started paying my mortgage, virtual assistant business at home. And I was working as an executive assistant virtually for several clients. And that was sort of helping me to keep the lights on, keep food on the table. But come November, the money ran out. And I stopped paying my mortgage. Now, I had never been through that experience, so I didn't know what to expect, which was probably a good thing. You know, ignorance is bliss. And I started receiving phone calls in early December. I remember getting this phone call from this one man who introduced himself and said he would like to come by and see my house. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I don't know you. Why would you want to come see my house? And he explained that my house was going up for auction in March, and he was going to bid on it. And I said, what are you talking about? And he was very sympathetic. He was very kind and compassionate. He said, oh, honey, have you stopped paying your mortgage? And I bristled a little bit, and I said, well, not that it's any of your business, but yes, I have. I've got some extenuating circumstances, and that's the choice I've had to make. And he said, well, here's what's going to happen. And he basically laid it out for me. And I said, well, thank you for that information, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving this house. This is my house. So thanks very much and have a nice day. Kind of rattled me, but again, I really didn't feel like I had much choice in the matter. I had to just keep moving forward and try to stay as calm as I could in light of the circumstances. Now, mind you, this was back before I was really a disciple of the law of attraction and self-mastery. I knew just enough to try and keep my feelings of anxiety and worry as much in check as I could, but I didn't know then what I know now. In the meantime, in December, my mother had gotten sick. My mother was diagnosed with emphysema in 97 or 98, and after living on her own for a few years, my siblings and I confab and really decided that she needed to be living with one of us because she had had a couple of collapses and she was home alone, and that could have ended disastrously. And so we approached her about moving in with my sister, who lives in Richmond, Virginia. And she agreed that it was time for that. I think that last episode had scared her. Now, my mother's mantra growing up, I remember hearing repeatedly from my mother, I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get old, and I don't want to live with my children. And when my mother finally left this world, all of those things have come to fruition. So my mother was working the law of attraction on the negative end of the stick, if you will, as opposed to the positive end of the stick. So she ended up moving in with my sister, and she lived with my sister for several years, which was really good for my nephew. He was fairly young, and he got to spend, you know, quality time with Nana. But that December, she contracted quite a virulent lung virus, which was exacerbated by the fact that she had emphysema. And so she was in and out of the hospital from like Thanksgiving through, you know, Christmas time. She went in for 10 days and then was home for a week and then went back and then was home and then went back. And the doctor had been saying, you know, that this wasn't going to kill her. It was just, they had to get it under control, and it was difficult to control it. I got a call from my sister on December 27th, 2 days after Christmas in 2003, that my mother had passed away. We were all shocked because, as I said, the doctor had assured us that this wasn't going to kill her. But she was gone. She was gone. And so dealing with that on top of all the other experiences from previously in the year, it was a rough time. So then comes New Year's, and I know that, you know, I remember in the back of my mind this guy saying that the house was going to go up for auction on March the 3rd. So I'm thinking, okay, I got 2 months. You know, I got to figure this out. I'm still not strong enough to go back to work. And, but again, just, you know, staying the course. Well, I think it was toward the beginning or middle of February, a friend of my mother's, and Joan called me, and we, you know, caught up a little bit and chatted. And she said, look, I need you to get your siblings' addresses, their social security numbers, and some other information and send that to me. And I said, okay, why would I do that? And she said, well, your mother had an insurance policy, and she left you all a little bit of money, and I'm the executor. So in order to get that processed, I need this information. And I laughed. I said, Joan, my mother didn't have a pot to piss in. What are you talking about? She's like, no, she had set aside an insurance policy so that you kids would all, you know, get something when she passed. Well, this was just a shock. My mother had never said anything about that sort of thing to any of us, but I gathered the information for Joan, sent her what she needed. In the meantime, I'm getting these letters from the bank. I'm getting letters from the lawyers. There's just a lot of pressure about, you know, this March 3rd deadline. And that's the date that stands in my mind is coming up. 3 days before my house is set to go up for auction, I get a check in the mail for almost $40,000. That money enabled me to bring my mortgage up to date, pay off the lawyers, and in my house for another year. For another year. Which, of course, was such a huge relief. It was just a massive relief. At the time, I didn't recognize that I was living a very particular and very important scripture out of the book of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 65:24, and scripture says, even before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. So in the beginning of this show tonight, I mentioned that if we can stay as calm and peaceful as possible and stay in the flow and stay out of fear, solutions to situations will show up. Our challenge is going to be staying in faith, staying in hope, staying optimistic. And that's basically what I was doing. As I said, I still was experiencing anxiety and fear. I'm a human being, you know, spiritual being having a human experience. But I did my very best to keep my thoughts as neutral as possible, even if I couldn't feel good. This scripture, I ended up living that. What this says, even before they call, I will answer. My higher self knew that this experience was going to be part of my life experience in this particular incarnation. My higher self knew this was coming. In fact, my higher self and me, that part of me that's non-physical, I believe, set this into motion so that I could unknowingly live these wisdom teachings, come to recognize the wisdom teachings in retrospect and look back, because there have been incidences since then where, because of what I learned with that experience, I've implemented this scripture again, and it always, always works out, always works out. And it always works out better than I could ever have imagined that it would. So what I'm trying to illustrate with that story is this experience, this mortal plane, if you will, offers many opportunities to exercise your muscle of focus. There's a lot going on in the world right now. I had lunch today with a colleague and we were talking about the upcoming election at the end of this year. And we were wondering, you know, what that's going to look like and how it's going to play out and how it's going to appear, you know, in terms of reactions, no matter who wins, no matter who loses. You know, this is a very pivotal time. There's a lot of fear out there. There are, you know, people who are just feeling incredibly anxious. And I believe that the experiences that I've gone through for the last 17 years, the teachers that I've met, and the things that they've helped me recognize, and then I've taken that information and I've personalized it and I've implemented it in my own life, I can speak that this work is worth doing. Putting aside the distractions, recognizing who you are and where you come from and what you can do just with your thoughts and your emotions. Okay? So, I am, what is going on? All of a sudden I'm hearing a song, Good Vibration. There we go. Okay, it's gone now. So, that's the message that I am really passionate about getting out into the world, is that that which created us, whatever you want to call it, the universe, infinite intelligence, the divine, God, Allah, whatever, that which created us is love. And when I say that word love, I mean that in every context, but the main one is creation. It's love. It's creative. It's creative. It's creative. Love is creative. And if we can learn that there's value in staying in that place, and if we can teach ourselves and practice that, we will experience miracles in our life. What happened to me in 2003, that was a miracle. I didn't know my mother was going to get sick. I didn't know my mother was going to die. I didn't know there was an insurance policy, but my higher self did. My higher self knew all of this was there. And basically, it was giving me that message. If you'll just stay in faith, stay where you are, what you want is going to come to fruition. It will all come about. Just do your part to be calm and to be as peaceful as you possibly can. And I did. And I had a miracle. But you know what? There's even more to the story than that. There's another scripture, Ephesians 3:20, which says, when you stay in faith and hope and optimism, not only will your prayers be answered, they'll be answered way better than you even have imagined they could be. And the way that played out in my life with this scenario was I was able to stay in my house for the rest of the year. And that November 2004, I one day woke up and thought, it's time to put the house on the market. Still hadn't gone back to work, still working from home, had my little cottage business going. Put my house on the market, and it was around Thanksgiving time. Everybody kept saying to me, this is a stupid time to put your house on the market. Nobody's going to buy a house around Thanksgiving. We're going into the holidays. I said, you know what? My intuition tells me to do this. You know, if it doesn't work, I'll take it off the market. I put my house on the market. It sold within 3 days for more than I was asking for. Now, at the time, I didn't have any idea what kind of profit I was going to make off of this. I was just kind of happy that I was going to have some breathing room and I could make some new decisions. Well, I made enough money off the sale of my house to live in, I actually got a rental property, lived in that rental property for 2 years, didn't have to go back to work until 3 years later. So I had another 2 years to work on my health and get myself where I wanted to be. So I lived those two wisdom teachings, Isaiah 65:24 and Ephesians 3:20. I lived those experiences, even though I didn't even know about those scriptures at the time. There's value in this work. There's value in knowing who you are and where you come from. We are sparks of the divine expressing itself through us in this world of form. To be even more frank, you are God. I am God. We are God operating here in the world. If you can remember that and you can resonate with that, you can take that in, think about that, the implications of that. If you can do that, you'll change your life. You will change your life experience. You will. I see a couple people have their hands up, so I'm going to open the mic for the person who is calling in from area code 267. Is this 267312?
Oh.
There we go. Oh, sorry, I hit the wrong button. Is this 267312 blah, 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 blah?
Yes. I'm sorry, your phone is going in and out. Yeah, your phone was breaking up. Yeah, I just put it on, and that was really interesting what you were saying. But I was wondering, are you doing readings?
Well, tell me what you mean by readings. I'm not a psychic, if that's what you're wondering.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to let you know, I just was tuning in, and that was really interesting what you were saying, because some kind of stuff like that has been happening to me, and because I've just been keeping the faith, and things are working out really good, better than I expected with my job and stuff like that. So I just wanted to put that out there.
So maybe you were looking for a little bit of confirmation about that? Is that what you were thinking?
Well, kind of, yeah. My job was getting very stressful, and I'm not happy that a girl got fired, but she did, and I got put on her unit, and things are going a lot better for me, and you know, I can relate to what you were saying. You know, have faith and stuff like that.
Good. Is there something in particular, though, that you're wondering about around this situation? Because I'd be happy to work through that with you.
Well, I was just wondering, because it is very stressful as far as, the workplace and everything. And I did make it a little better. And I didn't know if you, like you said, the psychic hearing, I didn't know if it was going to get better, or, I mean, I have a faith that it's like, it gave me more confidence to keep going, that, you know, it's going to keep getting better for some reason.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, what's your first name, by the way?
Donna.
Donna. So I'll tell you, Donna, it will keep getting better because you're focused on it getting better. Your focus on the fact that you're already feeling better, circumstances are changing and you're feeling better, you're feeling encouraged. If you keep looking for reasons to feel good and reasons to feel encouraged, then the situation is going to get better and better, and it's going to get better and better because of you. The person who has the dominant thought is the one who is going to control the situation, so to speak. Control is a heavy-handed word, but you're going to be a tremendous influence in that circumstance because you're looking for reasons to feel good. You're looking for reasons to feel encouraged. You're looking at the reasons why things are getting better. You keep doing that, and miracles will happen. And you're not only doing it for you, you're going to be doing it for those you work with too, because you're all, the thing about workplace situations, much like a family, you know, when you're in a family unit, there's a family vibration, right? There's a family vibe, and workplaces are the same way. There's a vibe, there's a culture, there's a, there's a way about groups of people. And the person who has that sort of dominant vision is going to affect that circumstance because they have clarity. They have clarity and they have focus. Most of us are walking through this world without that, with no clarity and no focus. We're just kind of taking life as it comes, right? We're just kind of taking right. things as they come along. We believe that we come into this world and, you know, we're dealt a certain hand of cards, where you're born, who your parents are, your socioeconomic status, you know, your living environment. We believe that we have to play the hand we're dealt. You know, this is my life and this is what I'm stuck with. And in fact, what I've come to understand is that it's us. When is, for lack of a better term, back in non-physical, because the soul merges back with that which created it. If we're pieces of the divine, sparks of the divine here in the physical plane, when we drop the body, so to speak, that enlivening energy returns back to the Godhead, to Source. And so when we're back in Source, there's still individuality to us because we're souls on a journey. We're souls, we're here for a purpose, we're here for a reason. And so between lifetimes, we're kind of making decisions about, you know, where we want to be born and who our family members are going to be. And we're making those decisions with our soul family. We choose our parents, we choose our siblings, we choose where we're going to be born. All of this, these choices are being made by a part of us that isn't submissive to the ego. Ego isn't part of that dynamic. Ego is really more a function of this world. Ego is the part of our consciousness that helps us to discern what we prefer. We get lost in ego, however, because we forget who we are and we think we have to, you know, throw our weight around and have the right house and the right car and the right friends and the right look in order for us to get where we want to be. And so ego gets a bad rap, but it actually does have a role to play, and that is in helping us to discern what we prefer. What you've discerned is that you prefer to have a good experience at work, and you could go the other way, spend a lot of time complaining, spend a lot of time focused on what's not working, what's bad, what needs to change, and who needs to go. But it sounds to me like your personality is such that you've tend to want to focus more on feeling good and what's working well and what's working better. You keep doing that and you are going to see your own situation improve. Your finances are going to improve. Any other issues in your life that you have, those are going to improve because you're vibrationally resonant and in alignment with the truth of who you are, which is God in the physical body. So does that resonate with you at all? Does it make sense to you?
Yes. Well, see, I was feeling kind of bad. Like, this happened almost a week ago. And I was it's housekeeping in a hospital. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, there's got to be something better. And you know, I got separated 3 years ago, and now it was just the weirdest thing. Like, it's a good unit, and I'm sorry, you know, the girl that got fired, but it just so happened they put me on her on the unit. Somebody had to fill it, so mm-hmm. I was feeling kind of bad, and I was kind of getting snubbed, and you know, a bunch of women, but now I get my car, and I say, you know what, okay, I'm going up to my unit now, and I go up and I take control, and all the nurses and everything are supportive. They, you know, they like my work, and I'm not being snooty about it. That's just me. That's what I'm doing. And, you know, nobody cared when I was like down and doing the crappy jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And now I look at my house that I'm redoing. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm blessed. Yeah, I have this housekeeping job, but I did all this because I got that, and now I like it, and it's going to be even better. So I don't know if that makes sense, but
it completely makes sense. You're already doing it. You know, many people will listen to the show because they want to learn more about the law of attraction. You're already doing it by your focus, by being clear about what you want. And the clearer you are with yourself, okay, this is an internal process. This doesn't have to be divulged to anybody around you, okay?
Right.
The clearer you are inside you, in your mind, in your heart, in your body, and you know what it feels, you know the difference between feeling clear and focused and feeling confused and anxious and worried. You know the difference.
Yeah.
So the dark side, if you will, let's term it like that. But when you feel yourself going in that direction, what do you do when you feel yourself going? Do you have a plan for yourself? Do you catch yourself and stop it, or how do you react when that happens to you?
Now, well, instead of making it, because the people around me were making it feel like it was a negative thing, you know, because I got the this sounds silly, but you know, I got the unit and I was feeling bad, like, and I was ready to quit. I said, well, I don't want this job anyway. I just want to get into something else. But instead, I just went in one morning, I took my car and I say, I'm going up to my unit. I got work to do. And I stay there all day. And that's what I do. And then I get home and then I can go shopping at the end of the week and do what I got to do. And
right,
they don't matter. They don't worry about me.
Right.
You know, there's that saying,
you know, haters got to hate, right? So these people are probably miserable, unhappy, scared, worried, anxious, whatever. You know, they've got their own experience going on. And there's a part of you, I imagine, that can have compassion for that. I mean, because you've been there, you know what this feels like. But everyone, we have to help ourselves first. And what you're doing, you know, I kind of think you might be a bit of a light worker, Donna. I don't know if you ever heard that term, but what I'm hearing from you makes me think that you're kind of a light worker here. You're doing your thing. You're having your focus, you're being clear, you're making your choices. Your life is going to start trading this even more than it has. And those people on your unit are going to have one of two reactions. One is the ones who are supportive. They're going to look at you and they're going to be like, dude, what are you doing? Because your life is really going well. And I've been watching this and, you know, what are you up to? And you're going to be able to say, I'm focused and I'm clear about what I want and I'm doing my very best not to let anybody else influence me. The other people, the haters, they're not going to be around as much. That's not to say they're going to get fired or what have you, but you know, they're going to go find their own people, their own cluster. They're just not going to bother you anymore because they're not in alignment with where you are. You know, we live in a world that values science. Right? You talk to people about science, they listen to that. You talk to them about religion, boom, they shut right down. But if you talk to them about science, they hear you. And there's a principle in physics that's called entrainment. And have you ever heard that term, entrainment?
No.
Okay. So what that means is if you have two atoms vibrating in a space, and you know, we all took science in school, we looked in the microscope and we could see things moving around, right? Okay.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
If you have two atoms, and atoms make up everything in this in this world, right? You have two atoms in the same place. If one is vibrating at a higher frequency, because that's how you measure vibration, right? It's measured by frequency. If one is vibrating at a higher frequency, so it's vibrating faster, it's moving faster than the other one, two things will happen. Either that lower vibrating atom will entrain, it will fall, it will rise up to that same vibration as the other atom, because that other atom isn't going to come down. It's going to maintain its vibration. The reason it can maintain its vibration is the atom itself, it has consciousness, but it actually responds to consciousness. So it's going to stay at the level or go higher that it's at. It's never going to come down. The atom that is vibrating at a lower frequency is the one that has the choice to make, to either come up or to go away. And so that's what's going to happen in your experience. The clearer you get, the more you encourage yourself to keep doing what you're doing, the less doubt and the less distraction you allow yourself to go in that other direction, the more, the better and the better and the better life is going to get for you. And those people are just not going to come into your sphere, because vibrationally, that's just a law of physics. That's not, you know, metaphysical, esoterical, you know, frou-frou stuff. That's just physics right there. So you keep doing what you're doing and you're going to see the results, not because some, you know, higher guy with a white beard sitting on a cloud with a clipboard is saying, yeah, she's doing okay, so, you know, she deserves to have a little bit more than everybody else. You're doing it. You're doing it. You are doing it. And others are going to see you doing it, and there's going to be people who are going to want you to tell them what you did. I have a feeling at some point, Donna, you're actually going to be talking to people about this. You're going to be teaching people about this too. How big the sphere is going to be, you know, that remains to be seen. But I think that you're a light worker, and I think that you're there to help these people around you understand the truth of who they are as well.
You know, it's weird because until you brought it to my attention, I know this already, and I'm excited about it happening.
Good. That's great. That's wonderful news. You should be excited, because I can tell you from personal experience, Donna, I've been living this 24/7, 365 for more than 15 years, and it never fails me. It's never failed me. I've had miracles happen in my life. That story I told you that I started the show off with, to me, that was a miracle, but I didn't know it at the time. There's a wonderful, you know, wisdom teaching out there called the Course in Miracles. Actually, it's A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles says that a miracle is a shift in perspective. All you have to do is, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. That doesn't mean be abused and let people beat up on you, though that's pretty much how it's taught to us. When Jesus said, turn the other cheek, he was saying, look in another direction. Look in the direction you want to go. Don't look at this stuff over here that isn't making you feel good. Your feelings are valuable, because your feeling state tells you whether you are in alignment with your plan, God's plan, God and you are the same thing, for your life or not. And if we can learn to value our feelings, because we live in a world that doesn't value feelings, I think we can all agree to that. If you can really pay attention to, honor your feelings, when you start to feel kind of icky, stop and ask yourself, what was I just thinking about? What was I just focused on? Chances are something happened on the unit. You're hearing gossip. You're hearing, you know, some people talking.
Yes.
I worked in a hospital too. So I was an x-ray tech in the early part of my career. So I understand that dynamic.
The hospital thing, you get it.
Yeah. It is a world and a microcosm in and of itself. But distractions, because that's what they are. Many of us say, you know, why can't those distractions go away? But those distractions are actually there to help you. It's almost like, you know how when you're wanting to build a muscle, like if you're wanting to build up your, you know, your, I was an x-ray tech, can't remember the name of that muscle in your forearm, but you want to build a muscle, you have to introduce resistance, right? That's what builds the muscle fibers, is the resistance. So these negative, what we would call negative situations, they can actually serve us to help us build that focus, build that clarity muscle. Because let's face it, Donna, you and I both know, when things are going well, we don't give this stuff a second thought. It isn't until things become uncomfortable that gets our attention. And so it's been proven human beings learn more quickly through pain than they do through joy. Yeah. But you have a choice. You have a choice to choose joy. And I'm telling you right here from personal experience, I am not blowing sunshine up your skirt. I'm telling you, that's the way to go. I had someone I was talking to the other day, and I talk about this all the time, all the time. And someone said to me, well, you know, I mean, what's your background? And I said, what do you mean? She's like, well, what, you know, what right do you have to talk about this? Like, what's your... And she said, you're not a coach? I said, no. She said, well, are you like, are you a doctor? Are you a clinical psychologist? I said, no, I'm not special. I'm just a regular person who took this information I was motivated by having lived with fear in my gut for the first 44 years of my life. I took this information and I personalized it and I changed my life. Donna, I've been living in a state of almost consistent, deep inner peace for more than 3 years now. I rarely ever get triggered anymore. My life just keeps getting better and better. My relationships get better and better. I've been teaching this to my daughter since she was young. She uses it and her life. I should interview her actually for this show one day, because this kid, when she makes up her mind, it happens almost overnight. I'm telling you, this work is worth doing. It is absolutely worth doing, because your life will get better and better and better.
Oh,
I'm gonna get off my soapbox. Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. I wanted to say, we've only got about 6 or 7 minutes left, so we're gonna have to wrap this up. But I don't know if you're on Facebook or you're on social media, but if you are, you know, and you feel the urge, feel free to reach out to me on like on a private message. If you want me to give you referrals to, you know, teachers or books to read or videos to watch or whatever, I'm happy to do that, because I have seen it and I have used it all. And I'm happy to share that information with you if you're interested in it. Okay.
Okay. Yes. And what's your full name?
My name, it's Mary Jo Bull, B-U-L-L.
Okay. And mine's Donna Gray. Okay. I will do that. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Donna, for opening up with your question and for letting us have this discussion. I hope it helps.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good night.
All right, good night.
All right, that was a great discussion. I hope y'all got something out of that. We've got about 6 minutes left. There's one more thing I want to share with you before we wrap up this call. We were talking about physics. I was talking to Donna about physics principles. And what's really beautiful about this time that we're living in right now is that while science is only 500 years old and wisdom teachings are, you know, millennia old, the time that we're living in right now is showing that the two are very aligned. Science is proving spirituality, and spirituality is proving science. And I want to tell you about a specific experiment that actually was undertaken in the late 20th century that proved that our physical state, our state of being, has an effect on our DNA, measurable effect on our DNA. And the experiment that I'm referring to is called the Phantom DNA effect. And it was an experiment that was conducted in the late 20th century by a quantum biologist by the name of Vladimir Popanin. And what he and his colleague did, the experiment that they performed at the Russian Academy of Sciences, was that they took they hypothesized that photons of light, which is what the world is made up of, including us, photons of light react to human DNA. You know, you got to love scientist mind. Like, who thinks up these hypotheses? Who thinks up these questions? But thank goodness they do. So what they did was they took a test tube, and they put it under an unstoppered test tube in this case. And they put it under a high-powered microscope to look inside the test tube to see what they would see. And of course, there was a lot of photons of light in there moving around, vibrating at different levels. And put a stopper on it. And by creating a vacuum, supposedly they would have pulled out all the extraneous material that was had been present in that test tube, put it back under the microscope, and they did notice that there were still a few random photons of light in there, but there were a lot fewer than there had been. So they made that notation in their notes. They introduced into the test tube a piece of human DNA from a test subject. And after they put the human DNA in the test tube, they put it back under the high-powered microscope, and what they saw was that those random photons of light lined up along the axis of this strand of DNA. Those photons of light reacted to that DNA. They were attracted to human DNA, and they lined up along the axis of this strand of DNA. Isn't that fascinating? Like, why would they do that? Well, even more interesting, once they made those notations in their notes, they then extract a piece of human DNA. And then they measured the test tube again under the microscope. And what they found was those photons of light that have aligned with that strand of DNA remained in place. They didn't fall away once that DNA had been extracted. They remained in place, almost as though there was an invisible structure there that they were adhering to. Isn't that fascinating? Basically, our DNA affects the stuff that this world is made of. Think about that. Your DNA affects the world around you, which is what we just talked about. Think about that in the coming week. I just find that fascinating information. And I'll be talking more about that in subsequent shows. And speaking of that, I just wanted to let you know, tonight is a little different. The show is actually Wednesday nights at 8:00. And I hope that you'll come back and join us next week. And for those who hear the show in the meantime, would love to hear from you. Again, you can reach me on social media, Mary Jo Bull on Facebook, Instagram, and through this show page as well. So I just got a reminder in my ear. We've got about 40 seconds left. I just wanted to say to all who hear this and who participate tonight, this was a great show tonight. Thank you so much to Donna for being vulnerable. I know that can be unsettling. My next show, again, is Wednesday, February 26th, 8:00. Hope you'll listen in. Thank you so much for listening to Universal Energy Radio tonight. If you like the show, please visit us at iTunes and rate the show. Leave a comment if you get the chance. Thank you very much. Have a terrific weekend, and I hope to interact with you again next week. Have a good one. Good night now.